Charles Paris, A Deadly Habit, Episode 4.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time.
Yeah, rub it in, why don't you?
Yours a bundle of fun this morning.
Well, you wouldn't be the life and soul of the party if you'd had my week.
I suppose a two-corpse week entitles you to be grumpy.
Maybe now you'll stop poo-pooing my suspicions about Lydia's accident.
I didn't poo-poo.
You and Morris poo-pooed from the outset.
If we can extricate ourselves from the poo-poo rut, there may be an upside to Brendan's death.
A tad insensitive.
About a perv who got his rocks off planting cameras in women's dressing rooms. Mm. But now he's dead, the trail's gone cold, and you can finally stop playing detectives.
What makes you think the trail's gone cold?
The old voyeur lost his homemade porn video and realised that if he's called out, he'll be banged to rights.
Banged to rights?
Rather than face humiliation, prosecution and probably prison, he goes on one last binge, drinks himself to death. End of trail.
Did I tell you I heard him threatening someone? Well, counter-threatening, because someone was threatening him.
Who?
Don't know.
What were they threatening?
Don't know.
Would coffee help?
When doesn't it? Please. Black. Very strong. I'm not sure this thing's as neatly tied up as you make out. Lydia's husband's also asking questions.
She was married?
Separated from an emotionally needy husband who couldn't accept the marriage was over.
No comment. Do you think he had something to do with her death?
I'll find out tomorrow. He's asked to meet me.
Why you?
Yeah, good question. That's an espresso machine.
And on go the glasses.
Soft focus is more forgiving in the morning, keeps the day at bay. Get a load of that bad boy.
15 grind settings. Oh. 19 bar pressure.
Oh.
If you ask nicely, it'll even froth your milk.
Stop it.
My treat to me for finishing the book.
What were you reading?
The book I've been writing.
I'm teasing. All these months and you still haven't told me anything about it. When do I get to read it?
In good time.
Am I in it?
No!
Not even thinly veiled?
Not even thickly veiled, solipsist. Drink your coffee.
This is incredible.
At least something's cheered you up. Now, how about you getting dressed before lunch?
I am dressed.
It's not a pyjama party.
I didn't know it was any sort of party.
I've invited a couple of people to lunch.
What's the dress code?
Clothes you haven't slept in?
That formal? You'll be wanting me to shower next.
Push the boat out. Drag a blade across your face.
One more coffee.
Shower first.
I want to play with your new toy.
Shower now. Morris!
There she is, the author. Do no joke.
You didn't say Morris was coming.
I told Charles he can sit with the grown-ups if he behaves.
I'm not a child.
Debatable.
Why aren't you doing whatever it is you do when you're actively not getting me work?
Everyone's allowed a weekend, and anyway you are in work.
Only because Justin Grover specifically asked for me.
Sophistry. Frances invited me to lunch as a thank you for introducing her to Bethan.
Bethan?
Bethan Jeffries. Keep up, Charles.
Who's Bethan Jeffries?
That'll be me.
You found us all right.
I followed my nose.
Was it the plume of papal smoke?
Or the pine disinfectant he used as aftershave?
It's pleasantly astringent and alpine fresh for a matter of mere pennies. We haven't been formally introduced. Charles.
I've heard so much, I feel I know you already.
Oh, what's she been saying about me?
Your face, Charles!
What about it?
You do look a bit flushed.
Go and wash that stuff off now.
Oh, no.
All for a matter of mere pennies.
Shut up.
Is he all right?
I've been asking that for years.
Don't stand on the doorstep. Come in, come in.
Would it be very greedy to take some more chocolate tart?
Please, I only eat the leftovers.
Oh, in that case.
Francis tells me you're rehearsing a new Dervla Brody play.
It's called Faith.
Another verbatim piece.
Verbatim's her thing.
Always was.
You know her?
Did. Here you are, Morris.
Ooh, there goes my beach body.
What's it about?
A real-life scandal at a monastery back in the 90s.
Apparently she spent a year recording the brothers.
Every stutter, and
That's her process.
What's your process, Francis?
Lock the door and put on noise-cancelling headphones to block the sound of Charles droning along to Howlin' Wolf.
I do not drone.
Whatever you're doing, Francis, it's working.
I wouldn't know. She won't let me read it.
I don't want to jinx it.
The curse of Paris.
Have I missed something?
When Charles's name appears on a cast list, insurance goes through the roof and actors start making funeral plans.
Don't listen to him.
Two people have died since they moved into the Afro Ben.
Really? That's awful.
Yes. Devlin Brody's first West End show in 10 years.
I meant awful for the people who died.
Oh, of course. On the other hand, her career's been on a steady decline. I hear she's been touting herself around trying to get gigs writing soaps.
She's up to her neck in debt, so she really needs this show to work. How do you know her, Bethan?
I knew her a long time ago at the Royal Court.
What were you doing there?
Acting.
Ah.
That court job was my first and last decent role before I bailed out.
What was it you didn't like about a life of penury, paranoia and insecurity?
Actually, it was a lost weekend with Dervla that did it for me.
Really?
It was around the time she won the Best Newcomer Award. She was in a favour of the month.
If you like the taste of misery.
One Saturday after two shows, a load of us went for a drink, except Dervla doesn't do a drink. Anyway, everyone peeled off, apart from me, another actor and Dervla. Then someone said there was a party. We turn up at a flat in Camden. I don't know whose. Someone in the music business.
Uh-oh.
As soon as Dervla rolled a tenor, I should have got the night bus home. But I was young and, you know, up for new experiences.
I want to be the boring but sensible friend who gets you the hell out.
Not before she's finished the story.
I don't know what happened to Sunday. I woke up Monday lunchtime in a room I didn't recognise. Dervla was on the floor, completely out of it, and I was wrecked. My head was throbbing and there was this repeated noise which I thought was inside my skull till I realised it was a camera. As the room came into focus, I saw someone taking photos.
Of what?
Of me.
Weird.
Creepy.
He just stood there, snapping away.
Who did?
The other actor from the show. Fantasy's not my thing, but apparently he's now in a huge series called Warlock Wars.
Not Justin Grover.
I've never told anyone his name before. Isn't that odd?
Actually, I'm not sure it is.
Justin starring in Dervla's new show.
And producing.
Well, they've got history. Back then, they practically lived in each other's pockets.
When you caught him out, what did you do?
I'm proud to say I completely lost it. He looked Polax when I grabbed the camera, yelling at him, calling him a pervert, trying to rip the back off and threatening to call the police.
Good for you.
I made so much noise, Dervla woke up. She didn't seem surprised or anything, just told him to give me the film. I spent the rest of the day walking around London wondering if I'd imagined the whole thing.
What did you do with the film?
Threw it away. In retrospect, I wish I'd kept it as evidence. I still wake up some mornings feeling guilty.
You're not the guilty one.
But I bet he's done it with dozens of other girls too scared to stand up to him.
That's how they get away with it.
He didn't have the kind of profile or clout he's got now.
Next night he tried to make out it was all a silly misunderstanding. But I already had doubts about the business. That just put the full stop on it.
The trail was hot again, and somewhere along it was a point where Justin and Dervla converged. The question was, where and why? I spent Monday morning doing a tech run of an interminable scene in which I stood in a spotlight declaiming,
"Even monks have doubts, I told the girl, but she just laughed."
That was it, after which nothing for hours. So I strapped on my crampons for the ascent to my dressing room. Lightheaded and oxygen-starved, it was a toss-up between tea and scotch. It was a blunt, business-like text from Lydia's husband. "Can't meet later. How fixed now? Sent Zoom invite." I clicked the link.
"I can see you. Can you see me? You're muted. You need to click unmute."
"I know how to unmute, you patronising..."
"There you go. Well done, you. I've got a partner's meeting in 5, so I'll cut to the chase. You were friendly with Lydia."
"More colleagues."
"You had lunch with her the day she... the day of the accident."
"Actually, lunch was curtailed when she ran after some bloke who'd been staring at her through the window."
"That was me. I was keeping an eye on her."
"Ah."
I'd heard Neil was a needy husband, but when does needy become controlling?
"I wrongly assumed Lydia would grow out of student theatricals. I thought a few rejections would bring her down to earth. We'd settle down, start a family. She had other ideas. No one was going to get in her way. Funny how you can know someone and not know them at all."
Was this way-faced salaryman really capable of a crime passionnel?
"She didn't suffer fools."
"She told our playwright what she thought of her script."
"Cross her at your peril. I can't believe she's... About a year ago, she said she wanted some space. Since then, she's been sofa surfing, so when I saw you together...
Not my sofa. I don't even own a sofa. It's my wife's. Like I said, just colleagues.
Right.
Neil was puffed up, but pomposity wasn't a crime. Visibly deflating before my eyes, I couldn't imagine a man less likely to kill in a fit of jealousy.
Oh, thanks for your time, Charles. Mm. I'd better get off to my next meeting.
I steeped a bag of builders and opened my mini fridge. Over the weekend, my semi-skimmed had turned into unnatural yogurt, so I went on the cadge and ran into...
Oh, careful.
Sorry.
Never knowingly underdressed, today Dervla had gone for Land Girl meets Rosie the Riveter, complete with red headscarf which picked out the colour of her bloodshot eyes.
How was your weekend?
Actually, I met someone you know. Huh? Bethan Jeffries.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
She said she was in one of your first plays.
At the Court.
Dustin was in it too.
Yeah, I think so.
Morning, all.
Oh, we were just talking about you.
Yeah, sorry, guys, I've got to go.
Did you get the Bible?
Bible? Oh, yeah, it arrived this morning. Say hi if you see Bethan again.
Bible?
Series Bible for Warlock Wars. What can I do for you?
You got any milk?
Oat, almond or soya?
Cow?
I'm off dairy.
I'll take what's on offer.
Bring your mug to my room, we'll have a catch-up.
Back in my room, I stuffed a packet of biscuits in my pocket and set off wondering how to ask Justin, are you now, or have you ever been, a voyeuristic pervert?
In the fridge. Help yourself.
The fridge, like his dressing room, was three times the size of mine.
What do you recommend for regular builders?
I don't do caffeine. Try soya.
Okay.
The bean milk sank straight to the bottom.
Be kind to yourself. One life, one body. Treat it as a temple.
Would it be sacrilegious to slip a digestive into your temple?
I can do an extra 10 minutes meditating at lunchtime. Go on, then. The sweet taste of sugar, palm oil, glucose, syrup and dextrose.
Everything a growing boy needs. I was reminiscing about you at the weekend.
In a good way?
In a perverted sex pest way was what I wanted to say, but didn't.
What brought on the reminiscence?
Nostalgic reverie.
I prefer to live in the moment.
Especially if your past's full of dark secrets, was what I wanted to say, but didn't.
I try not to look back. I've never even watched an episode of Warlock.
How come?
Well, firstly, I can't stand watching myself act.
Who can?
Kit Astley, for one, but he's not really an actor.
He brings his own thing to the party.
A jawline, biceps, and a massive fan base.
Is that why you cast him in this?
Well, thanks to Kit's Instagram, tickets sold out 12 minutes after the site went live.
What's the other reason you don't watch Warlock?
I prefer to move on.
You're leaving?
Good God, no. Short of death or personal catastrophe, they'll have to drag me off set. I've got my own action figure.
I tried to imagine a Charles Paris doll with fully jointed knees, nicotine-stained fingers and miniature whiskey bottle.
You have to keep moving on to the next thing.
Like this?
Exactly.
I had lunch with someone who worked with you at the Royal Court. Actually, it was another Dervla play. Actress called Bethan Jeffries.
Doesn't ring any bells.
She's not acting anymore.
Well, this life's not for everyone.
It wasn't so much the life, more a Me Too thing.
Nasty. But these things happen.
Nasty, but these things happen, was when I decided to step it up a gear.
You sure you don't remember the name?
Do you remember every actor you've ever worked with over the years?
I would if they'd accused me of something.
Don't follow.
He was either telling the truth, or this was the best bit of acting I'd seen him do.
This, what's her name?
Bethan.
What's she supposed to have accused me of?
Taking compromising photos of her without consent.
What?
At a party in Camden.
That narrows it down.
Dervla was also there.
She was at every party from the mid-80s to the millennium, not that she'd remember.
She remembers Bethan.
Well, I don't, and I'm afraid your friend's mistaken me for someone else.
Another Justin Grover, star of Warlock.
She can't go spreading rumour and gossip wherever she... Who else was at this lunch?
Me, my wife, my agent.
Maurice Skellen. The gossip's gossip. You know, stuff like this sticks. It ruins reputations, destroys careers. What does she want?
Want?
Well, they always want something.
Who's they? And what do you mean, always? Has this happened before?
Oh, no. You read the news. Obviously, the stories that are true are terrible, but some are just...
lies?
The internet's still the Wild West. People think they can say what the hell they like. Can this woman prove her allegations?
Apart from Dervla being there?
Oh, hardly a reliable witness. If you think she drinks now, you should have seen her back then. And where are these so-called photographs?
She destroyed the film.
Oh, how convenient. Look, I'm sure she's a nice woman, but she still can't drag people's names through the... This gets out. If it gets back to my producer...
You say it's not true.
Oh, don't be naive. No one cares what's truth and what's a lie anymore. Maybe she's a fantasist, a man-hating misogynist.
Misandrist.
Save it for University Challenge. It's her word against mine.
But then there's the other camera.
What other camera?
Someone planted it in Lydia's dressing room. There's a tape of her and Kit.
You accuse me of taking dodgy photos without any proof? Now I'm making sex tapes without any proof.
You cast Lydia against Nina and Dervla's wishes.
I fought for her because she was the best actor for the part.
Lydia's husband said, cross her at your peril. If she found out about the camera, she'd have gone to the police and probably the press, but she died before she had a chance.
Are you suggesting I killed her?
Where were you that night?
I did a Warlock Q&A at the BFI. 500 audience members will testify to the fact. Unless you think I paid them all off. Look, I know nothing about this camera, but whoever planted it must have had a key.
You mean Brendan?
Well, not to speak ill, but let's be honest. Brendan was a more likely candidate for what the butler saw.
And now he's dead too.
The guy was 100% proof. It's amazing he lasted that long. If anyone murdered Lydia, wouldn't they need a motive? Someone with a beef? An axe to grind, someone who saw Lydia as a threat and had something to lose.
Someone like Dervla.
I didn't say that. You're an actor, not a detective. Now, in the nicest possible way, would the pound shop Poirot get the hell out of my dressing room?
I had to clear my head and add a little more pollution to the already sullied air of Soho. So I went out through the stage door. A solitary Warlock fan stood sentry outside the stage door, coughing her disapproval and fanning the air with a publicity shot of Kit Astley. Turning away, she inhaled towards Trafalgar Square. As a courtesy, I exhaled towards Tottenham Court Road.
You all right? I'm Charles, by the way. I'm in the play with...
Yeah, I know. I'm Peaches.
Take that, nominative determinism.
You haven't been in Warlock, have you?
If only. No such luck.
They're casting season 6. You'd make a good head of Ravenclan.
I thanked her for the tip-off, then had a thought.
What time do you knock off in the evening?
She stepped back in horror.
No, I didn't mean I'm harmless. I just wondered if you always stick around till everyone's left.
Why?
One of the actresses had an accident.
Lydia Max? She was going to be in season 6.
Did you see all the actors leave the night she died?
I think so.
None of the actors went back in?
No, not that I saw. Oh. Just her.
Who?
Peaches gestured across the road with her broomstick. I glimpsed a figure hurrying round the corner into Wardour Street. Dervla Brodie. It wasn't difficult to follow the red headscarf as Dervla zigzagged through the back streets and entered the Daniel Mendoza. Named after the bare-knuckle prizefighter, the Mendoza was a Soho throwback, so no sashimi squid with a ponzu dressing, just crisps, nuts, beer, and...
Double scotch, please.
I found Dervla in the back bar, nursing a quadruple gin and token slimline.
What's happened now? Theatre burnt down.
No, I'm at a loose end and kicking my heels. Do you mind if I...
I'm not a good drinking companion this afternoon.
One of those days.
One of those lives. God, there, I've done it again. You'd be better off drinking alone.
I don't mind if you don't.
There are many types of drink and many types of drinker. Dervla's style was needful and joyless, She took a morose mouthful.
Sometimes I wish I'd never written that first play.
Why?
Success is wasted on the young. He gave me the false notion that it would always be that easy. Cut to present, first West End show in a decade, and the gods are conspiring to stop it.
Not with Justin's name attached.
He wouldn't be in the Afro without him.
And it's not like he needs the work, but I suppose you know where the bodies are buried.
I don't follow.
He doesn't forget the people he came up with, having said which, he couldn't remember Bethan Jeffries.
That play was a long time ago.
Even so, I wouldn't forget if someone accused me of behaving inappropriately.
I'm no poker player, but I can read a tell, and a tiny twitch of the eye told me it was time to call her bluff.
You were at the party when Bethan caught him taking photos.
What are you talking about?
You told him to give her the film when she threatened to smash the camera.
Dervler had the sort of complexion that burns by moonlight, but even she turned a whiter shade of pale.
Relying on a star name to get a show on is always a double-edged sword. Justin wanted control over the casting of Faith, didn't he?
Casting was a process of creative consultation.
Till you and Nina wanted Alice, then he overruled you both and cast Lydia.
It's called pragmatism. Justin likes to think he's got his own way. It's a star's perk.
Like the hidden camera in Lydia's dressing room.
Don't know what
you and Justin go way back.
So?
You know his weaknesses, he knows yours.
I don't have to sit here listening to this.
Seriously?
What?
I haven't heard that line outside a soap.
Oh, said the actor who thinks he's a detective, and I don't write soaps.
You've been trying.
It's not against the law.
And they pay, which must be handy for a writer with debts.
Oh, tell it like it is, why don't you?
I will, and feel free to stop me if I'm wrong, because two people are dead, and I think you know why.
Let me get a notebook out. I'm always up for a plot.
Why is Justin doing this play? He doesn't need the money, he hasn't been on stage in years, and despite what he says, he doesn't much like theatre.
Like you said, he doesn't forget the people he came up with.
Especially you.
Jealous?
It's quite the symbiotic relationship. You scratch my back, I won't phone the tabloids about your dirty little secrets.
Oh, you've embroidered a neat little fiction for yourself. You ever thought of writing?
Have you?
If you don't like verbatim,
Justin would throw his mother under the bus to save his own ass.
You haven't met his mother.
He as good as told me you killed Lydia.
No response this time. No comeback. Just the tiny giveaway twitch of the eye.
And what Justin doesn't know is that I recorded our conversation.
I was bluffing. I hadn't recorded a damn thing.
I think you persuaded him to do Faith because he knows you know all about his track record with vulnerable young actresses. Letting him cast Lydia was part of the transaction. You got what you wanted, he got what he wanted. Debt paid. But what you didn't foresee was Justin bribing Brendan to plant that camera. How am I doing?
Emboldened by her silence, I dived back in.
Justin's voyeurism was a high wire act, but the possibility of getting caught is part of the thrill for men like him. Fame and money equals untouchable. Who's going to believe an unknown actress? I don't know if she found the camera or if something he said gave him away. Justin was relying on Lydia's ambition to keep her quiet. What he didn't bank on was her fearlessness. I'm guessing she kicked off, threatened to go to the police, and that's when he asked you to make the problem go away.
You can't prove that.
That you did it, or that he asked you to do it?
You can't prove either.
And you haven't denied either.
You say Brendan planted the camera for Justin. Well, if that's true, why didn't Justin get him to push her down the stairs? He had enough on him.
Brendan was up in his drinking room, smashed out of his mind.
So he told you.
He was so drunk he missed his footing and crashed nose first into a wall. No one could self-inflict injuries like that. Also, who said Lydia was pushed?
She fell downstairs, but you seemed convinced it wasn't an accident, so
when do you start working on Warlock Wars?
Silence again, and again, that telltale twitch.
Why would Warlock Wars send you the series Bible unless you were going to be writing on it? For someone with debts, a gig like that is the answer to all your problems. And that's how Justin coerced you to kill Lydia, isn't it? Dervla?
He said if he went down, he'd take me down with him. I was desperate. I wasn't in my right mind. You have no idea the pressure I'm under. But once it was done, I thought that was that.
Not Brendan, too.
He removed the camera and then saw a money-making opportunity and he asked how much it was worth to give it back.
That's when Justin asked me for one more favour, and it would all be over. Anyone who knew Brendan knew he was on borrowed time. I just provided him with the wherewithal.
The litre of vodka.
When I went back, he was unconscious.
And you decided to make sure he stayed unconscious.
That's Justin's fault. He made me do it.
He'll deny it.
He coerced me.
You'll need proof.
There's always the recording you made.
I was bluffing. There is no recording.
Actually, there is.
She tapped an icon on her phone.
I want her dead.
Are you insane?
Aren't we all? Do this for me, and everything goes back to the way it was, only better.
Things went back to the way they were, only worse. Dervla's evidence ensured that Warlock Wars ruthlessly dispatched Justin's character off-screen. He didn't even get a death scene. Charged with murder, they both remain on remand awaiting trial. Needless to say, Faith closed before it could open, and I was back out of work. But with time on my hands, Frances finally allowed me to read the manuscript of her book.
I've been up all night reading this.
In one sitting?
I couldn't put it down.
Great! This calls for coffee.
No, thanks. After the way your heroine dispatched her husband, I'll never be able to use a coffee grinder again.
Oh, yes, I was quite pleased with that.
Not even thickly veiled.
What?
You said I wasn't in it.
You're not.
You've made the husband an actor.
A successful actor.
Thanks a lot.
It's fiction, Charles. He's an amalgam of lots of people.
Yeah, that's what writers always say.
Kept you reading to the end, though, so it's a page-turner.
It's a gut-churner. How have I been living under the same roof with a person who can think of doing that with a grapefruit spoon?
Oh, it's my Morris Bethan WhatsApp. Someone's interested in the screen rights.
Oh.
They're after a vehicle for... Do you know her?
Oh, yeah, she's great. Much younger than your character.
Surprise, surprise.
Who have they got in mind to play me?
Not you.
Okay, who's playing not me?
Some young... Sure you don't want a coffee?
Frances...
You can play with my coffee machine.
Show me the... Kit Astley? Oh, no!
Well, who needs actors when you've got a jawline, biceps, and a massive fan base?
In A Deadly Habit, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Justin was Tony Turner, Dervla, Jane Slavin, Bethan, Christine Kavanagh, Peaches, Eleanor Coleman, and Neil, Simon Ludders. A Deadly Habit was written by Jeremy Front from the book by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.